Welcome to the Chicago Endurance Sports Podcast. This week, we bring you the Chicago Marathon Virtual Race Week. We're super excited to be here with you. And today, we're going to be talking about prepping for your virtual race. I am here with
Coach Cynthia from Lincoln Square.
And Coach Michael from the South Loop.
And I'm Coach Lori McGee-Cook from Old Town. Well, here it is. It's CES summer training, and we're getting ready to conclude the season.
It's race week.
It is. So this is Chicago Marathon Race Week. And we know that several of the participants in this program were looking to do the Chicago Marathon. We know that others had other goals, such as London and Boston, and also the New York City Marathon, which a lot of people will be doing October 31st. But this week, since you know the majority of the participants were going to do the Chicago Marathon, we are just going to chat a little bit about how to prep for your virtual race. And just some tips that we would have for you, and then we can kind of chat a little bit about the support that we'll have over the weekend out in the in Chicago on the lakefront path.
That's right. Even though this is a virtual run and maybe your goals are going to look a little different than if it was a run with a million people cheering you on, you can still benefit from a lot of the preparation that we have helped you with throughout the entire season, and that will help you have a successful 26.2 wherever that is.
And then also some people might be running 13.1 or also a 10K race. So a lot of this that we're chatting about might be heavier on the side of preparing a 26.2, but a lot of these practices really apply to any sort of distance that you're going to challenge yourself with over the next couple of weeks. So with that, setting some goals and expectations on how that should look like and kind of setting yourself up for success. Coach Michael, would you like to chat a little bit about how you think you can start setting some goals when you're getting ready to prepare?
Sure. At the beginning of the season, we talked a lot about setting goals for the season. And now that we've come near the end and ready for race day, it's time to maybe reassess what those goals were at the time. And if you've done the work and the training has gone in a way that you could keep those goals on track, or you need to kind of reassess them. But no matter, either way, you want to make sure that you have some goals that's going to help you with your run and carry you through your run, especially get you through maybe some rough patches and stay on course that way. There's a couple things when it comes to setting goals. One thing is they should be realistic. You know, if you've been training at a 13-minute run walk, you shouldn't expect to do a 9-minute continuous run mile for 26 miles, but it doesn't mean you can't push yourself a little faster than you have, because you should have been training slower than your race pace. And another big thing about goals is the risk reward factor, meaning if you have high goals and you really want to achieve maybe a PR, it may come with some risks, because when you push yourself a little harder, you have a chance of maybe instead of playing conservative and holding back, letting it on the line, you risk maybe burning out sooner or some other problems coming up. You need to weigh what's going to work for you. But definitely, you should have more than one goal. You should walk to the start of your race with more than one goal. So in case something does not go your way, you can reassess and readjust. Cynthia, you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I think if there's anything that we've learned from this training season, having to train the way we did, I think we've all become a little bit better at being flexible. So you should know your virtual race shouldn't be any different, right? Know that with all those goals that you have in mind, if this is your first marathon, maybe that first goal is just to finish 26.2 miles, period. That's a great first time goal. Same if this is your first half marathon or your first 10K. That is an amazing goal. If all the stars are aligned, maybe another goal is a time goal. Like, I've been training at this time. My goal is just to do a 4-hour marathon. That's another great goal, is to have a time goal. And then I always like to have a goal of finishing my race with a smile on my face. That means, like what Coach Michael said, if you're really going to go for it and then you end up injuring yourself, is that going to put a smile on your face? Probably not. So giving yourself several different goals and allowing yourself to be flexible. And that flexibility can help you throughout the race in case you come across something that you haven't come across with your training. Like, oh man, I've really got to go to the bathroom. And of course, there's no porta potties out there. So what am I going to do? So you take every mile, no matter what the distance, take each mile separately and be flexible with what can happen. And know that as long as you hit one of your goals, you're probably going to be in a great condition. And if that goal even is like 26.2, but that day it's ends up being 13.1, hey, that's still 13.1 miles. So being flexible, I think, is definitely something that we've all practiced throughout this training, and it's really going to come in use during your race day. Lori, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, so a lot of times we will be talking about this week to have sort of different plans. So you can, again, setting yourself up for success. So a plan A might be everything is aligned. You have your best possible scenario that has happened. You go out there, you feel great. You maybe PR the distance if you've done it before. The path works out perfect. The weather is perfect. It's a best possible scenario. Now, a lot of times, you know, you got to remember and just prepare your mind for a plan B. And a plan B might be there's a few things, a few hiccups that happens that are kind of out of your control, but you still have a kind of a solid performance. So a lot of that is about finishing, just about being super flexible about what might happen. For example, because this is not a actual official race, there is going to be some things that might be unexpected that happens on the path. So if you're exploring pieces of the path that are places that you've not gone before, sometimes there might be some construction up or some areas of the path have some water that's flooding a little bit. So you might have to kind of adjust around where you're moving around, or the aid state, there will be some CARA aid stations that are out there, but just planning your hydration that way. And they have some published times, for example, that they'll be out there, but maybe that they made some adjustments that morning you didn't know. So again, there might be some things that are out of your control that you that might not go perfectly as planned, but that plan B, you know, you move flexibly around that and, you know, you have a still solid performance. And then there might be just like a plan C. A plan C is maybe the weather isn't as great as we thought it was going to be on the day you wanted to do the event, or perhaps the, you know, you're not feeling as good as you thought, or maybe you forgot a certain gel that you, whatever it is. And plan C is all just about remembering all the work that you've done coming up to that point and just finishing and being proud of that. No matter what happens, there's not like there's going to be this formal finish line for it. So everybody wins on this. Finishing it means everybody wins. So in this case, you should just be proud that you're out there and just have to adjust as you go. But I would say with that, do make sure that you control the things that you can control. So leading up to this week, we would talk, you know, we'll talk a bit about the hydration and nutrition plans, having your clothes laid out, making sure that you can plan for the things that you can control. Coach Cynthia, can you talk a little bit more about what are the things that we can control during our race week and building up to the event?
Yeah, things that you can control. You can control what you put into your body, it turns out. Like, you can control how you are feeding yourself, how you are continuing to drink water, hopefully. I mean, it turns out you do have control when it comes to what you're drinking and what you're eating. So keep that in mind. I get the nervous eats. So if I've been running for a very long time and I've had a lot of volume of running, and then all of a sudden it's like a week out from the race and I'm like, oh, I'm not running as much. I should be doing something. And then my hand goes into the bag of pretzels and then my fist goes into the Cheetos. And I'm like, ooh, you know what I really want? All the sodas in the world. That's something that you'd probably want to avoid, is like, don't go ahead and grab for those comfort foods because you have all this time on your hands with your tapering. Something you can control is who and what you are taking in as far as like movies. You can watch an inspirational movie that'll get you pumped up for the run. You can not spend your entire time on the news, that might not inspire you, but if, hey, the news inspires you, maybe go for it. But you can control how much social media you're taking in. Something that I often do is go back and look at all my runs and be like, oh, that was a good one. Oh, that one wasn't so great. How can I learn from that? And as long as those things don't give you anxiety, because you just want your training has been completed. You're just waiting for that race day. So do things that keep you nice and calm and that can inspire you and keep confidence, and start organizing yourself for race day. Like, ooh, what are my favorite socks to wear? Okay, I better make sure those are clean. What's my favorite buff? And do I want my outfit to match? Get excited and geeked out about that. I mean, you have a week to get excited. Really match your clothes with clothes that you've been running in already. Right, Michael? Do you have anything else to add to that?
Well, yeah, I'm a big list person because my mind goes nonstop. If I don't, I'll lay in bed and stare at the ceiling. So it's much easier for me just to write things down in a list and make lists of the lists I made to keep things organized. So what I'll need on race morning, so I can lay it all out, and maybe even the sequence, what I need to do before I leave the house that morning, as far as making sure I got my Band-Aids on my nipples and I've got my shoes tied three times to make sure they're just the right tightness, but to make sure I have everything I need. The other thing, starting lists early are for, in fact, maybe you're out of gels, your favorite flavor gel. And if you don't think about it till Friday evening, you're out of luck. So start making things now, maybe what you need for the week. Maybe you want to put together a menu for the week of what you want to eat during the week or how often you want to drink. Like I said, I'm a list person, and that really works for me. And also it, you know, like relieves a lot of nerves. Just don't misplace your list.
Yeah. And with those lists, I know for me, like writing lists down and kind of staying away from devices also helps me to sleep better. So you're probably not going to get the best night of sleep before your race. Even if it's a virtual race, you've trained for all this time. You're going to be excited. So get that rest that you're going to need right now. Like these next 3 days are going to be like, yeah, sleep time. Go to treat yourself. Go to bed early. Sleep in one day if you want, you know, show up to that Zoom meeting, pajamas on the bottom. You know, just roll out of bed, treat yourself with a lot of sleep. And Lori, you know a lot about that. I mean, that's your bag.
It sure is. No, getting sleep early and often, especially before the event, will help a lot of things. And, you know, we've talked about it a little bit earlier this summer, but just having that good 7 to 9 hours of sleep. A lot of people have been training a lot, get closer to the 8 or 9 hours, but make sure that you're getting at very, very minimum, 7 hours of sleep a night. Try for more of that 8 or 9. That's just going to really put your system ready to go. So cardiovascularly, if you are getting less sleep, you're going to notice that your heart rate's higher. And that's in general, when you don't get enough sleep, your just fitness in general feels a little bit stressed just because you're not getting the reset that your body needs through what's called an autonomic nervous system. So we could all nerd out about that, but I promise you guys that it's just going to feel better if you allow yourself to get that much sleep. So that is one thing you can control. Try to make sure that you carve out that time and what you need, and then at night put those devices down and get yourself nice and relaxed. Know that you have your list written, and then you should be able to get a little bit more sound of sleep. A couple of other tips too, if you have found that the weather changes and stuff like that have affected your sleep, just make sure that your bedroom is cool enough so you've got the temperature control at night. And again, that you're comfortable and putting away those devices. We all know that the social media kind of stuff really can kind of get your brain moving. But if you're going to look at any social media this week, I would say it's about pumping each other up and positive energy to know that other athletes that are out there are trying to accomplish the exact same things you are. You might not be all getting together at our race day resort that same morning, but everybody is in this kind of together and have the same type of goal. So make sure that you're giving high fives to other fellow athletes. So we have you know, what we're doing our race week. The evening before, we say nothing new for race day. So you guys should be eating the same types of foods the night before that you have been all season that you know has worked to your benefit and has made you feel strong during your runs. Hydration should be going on all week. So you should be sipping a good combination of water and a little bit of electrolyte drink all throughout the week. Don't think the night before you're going to be able to just eat a giant thing of pasta and drink a gallon of water and you haven't really practiced that consistently all week or all month and think that you're going to all of a sudden magically become this like superhero runner out there. You need to make sure that's consistent and things that you've been doing before. Now we've gotten a lot of sleep. We've eaten our meal that we know that's going to give us a powerful run on the next day. We've hydrated all week. What's going to happen on, you know, race morning? Coach Michael, do you want to talk about a little bit of the practices of race morning and recommendations?
Sure. On race morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to look at the list I put together of what I need to do on race morning. And after I've confirmed that, once again, a big thing I think is we'll use this term a lot, is to be flexible. I think nerves are usually high when you're doing a major thing, especially like running a major event, like running a marathon, a half marathon. So you might be a little crazed. If you live with someone, your spouse, whatever, might need to step back a little bit and let you live in your own crazy for a while. And just have an understanding that you need to get your headset for this. But definitely follow what you've been doing. On, you know, we've been saying that every long run should be a dress rehearsal for race day. So kind of do what you've been doing that's been working. Get up early enough to eat breakfast that it'll, you know, digest. We hope for at least 2 hours in advance. I know some people want to sleep in. You're probably going to be awake anyways. So you might as well get up and get some food in you to give you some time to process that and use the bathroom. So that's always a good thing. I know that when I'm able to perform properly in that manner before I leave the house, I always feel a lot more secure, especially with our limited availability of restrooms on the path. And then when you're dressing, hopefully you laid out your clothes the night before, but consider dressing as if it's 15 to 20 degrees warmer than it is. You don't want to walk out the door all feeling warm and cozy. Because as you know, as you start running, you're going to heat up. And the last thing you want to be in for 26 miles is overdressed or having to carry a shirt in your hand because you don't want to throw it away and you don't want to lose it. It's a little weird now because the weather's changing every day, but always go with a little less and a little more, I would say. What do you think, Cynthia?
I 100% agree with all of that. Something that I tend to do is put out, because the weather is something you can't control, I put out two outfits. That's right, two outfits. One if it's going to be warmer, something like a singlet and maybe some armbands for the first portion of the run, and then an outfit for if it's going to be cooler. One thing that's nice, silver lining of the training and the situation that we are in is, if you really wanted to, you could, after your first mile, run back home, drop your stuff off, and then your finish line is just going to be a little bit different looking. Another thing that I make sure is to body glide, body glide, body glide. Especially if you are running with a hydration pack. For me, that was the big thing that I learned during my training is like, boy, do I need a lot more body glide on my back, because when I drink from my hydration pack, it starts to loosen up and move a little. So remembering, you can't overdo it on the body glide, at least not that I know of. But yeah, also if like it's pouring out rain on Saturday and you're like, man, this sucks, know that the hydration stations for care are also going to be outside on Sunday. So another kind of silver lining is you could be flexible and be like, hey, maybe tomorrow's the day for this marathon. So know that you have, never before have you had that for a race. So now is the time that you can do that. But once you do get out the door and you have decided that you are racing that morning, you don't want to lose your focus, right? You've gone out there to do it. Now do the thing. get that 10K done, get that 13.1 or 26.2 done. And as Coach Lori mentioned before, there's Kara stations that'll be out on the path both Saturday and Sunday. But if you're a sweater, which I don't mean like you're an article of clothing that you wear during the wintertime. If you are somebody who sweats a lot, you're probably going to need more hydration than what is out there on the path. So have your choice of either a handheld or a belt or your pack, something that you've practiced and you know it works. So that's, you don't have to stress about it. Have your nutrition ready with you like you would on your long run, and have that plan for that, taking your first gel around 60 to 90 minutes. And then after that, more frequently, what you've practiced, like you've already practiced all this. So now do the thing. And you all know, follow that gel or goo with water and not sports drink, because that's a surefire way to mess yourself up. As we've all said, nothing new on race day. So you've got your strategies. There's also the mental component, which is going to be different this year than years prior. And if you're new to the marathon, it's going to be different. You might feel like, oh man, this just feels like another long run because I'm out here on the path where I've been practicing all summer long. So it might feel a lot longer than your practice run. So yeah, so something you can do is break up that run into smaller pieces. I love to break it up like a pie, all right? So if you're somebody who likes the sweet pies, like this might be your apple pie or your blueberry pie. If you're a savory person, this is your pizza pie. Nobody, unless they are doing an eating contest, just shoves that whole pie in their mouth. You cut it into pieces. So think of your race, no matter what the distance, as a pie, and you're only going to eat it one piece at a time, and you've got to pace yourself. Otherwise, you're going to have stomach issues. You're going to have all sorts of mouth issues. You don't want to tire out your jaw eating that pizza right away. You've got to take it one slice at a time.
So like practically thinking, let's think about what those slices look like. So those slices, and like you said, mentally putting those together. Let's start with the first one we say to everybody. We start off slow. So everybody that's starting their event off, you should start off almost uncomfortably slow. Because even though that you're not going to be at the big rush of like the actual event, you are going to be excited and you might have a little bit of adrenaline pumping through your system. And so you might feel really good when you first start. And a lot of people have a tendency to go out a little too fast. When you're trying to break this distance up and it's a long distance to do, you should start off nice and uncomfortably slow. And that should be for at least the first 2 or 3 miles, if not the first 4 to 5 miles, to get into your groove. So that first mile or two should just be kind of calming down. You're out there doing it, appreciating that. You're uncomfortably slow. The next 3 to 4 to 5 miles, you should only be increasing your pace real slightly. But look at that. That's your first piece of the pie. It's that first 5 miles of the actual running. And so within that first 5 miles, some things that you can do is just making sure that everything that you have on you, you feel comfortable. You're, again, starting off slow. You should sort of look at it mentally like, okay, for those first 5 miles, I need to get to this landmark. So if you're thinking it, some people like to think about this, getting to a certain landmark. So, and all you're thinking about is those first 5 miles. You're not thinking about the entire time. Oh my gosh, I'm running 26.2. Or if you're running, you know, the 13.1, oh my God, I'm running 13.1. Don't put that through your head. So you're just thinking about the first 5 miles. And then after you get over that, that's the next piece of the pie. So the next piece of the pie is where you might gradually build your mileage up. Again, you think about where maybe that next landmark is going to be to get you to about miles 9 or 10. Coach Michael, so we've gotten through like the first 9 or 10 miles. What do you think for the next pieces of pie, as Cynthia's described them, what would we do next?
So we're about, you said mile, what, 9 or 10? I usually, when I think about running a marathon, I usually think 13 miles is my warm up. I have to get to 13 miles if I'm going to get to the end. So I need to take it nice and easy, work out my nerves, get in my groove, at least get to mile 13. But at that point, it's a good time to kind of reassess, how's my day going? And we've all been there. Some days we're running and it's magic and things are flowing and it's easy, it's great. And if that's the case, you might consider slowly picking up your pace a little bit and falling maybe a little notch up and go for that for a couple miles, see how that feels, and then continuously do that as you get closer to the end of the race, take it up a notch. And if there's ever a point where you're at a level where you're starting to struggle, it's a little difficult, you can either hang there or bring it down a little. If you're having one of those days in those first 13 miles where, and this happens to us, where every step seems labored and every mile seems tough, keep where you're at. Keep it nice and easy. There's no reason to push yourself. Keeping it at a nice, steady, even pace for 26 miles is going to reward you with a good, solid finish time. To push yourself at a time where you're really struggling is probably going to lead you towards another direction where it's going to be less fun. You're going to enjoy yourself less. And you're probably going to have to slow down even more. Cynthia, you have anything to say about that?
Yeah. I think thinking of the first 20 miles as your warm-up and the last 6 miles as your race, like that's totally doable, right? And if you are feeling like every step is labored, a lot of that can be mental. Trying to think back on your training and remembering those really great runs where everything was aligned and you took into count why everything felt good. You can recall that you've got 26.2 miles or 13.1 miles or, you know, your 10K. You've got time to recall all of the good runs that you've had. Like, now's the time to play those on a loop, because a big part of this is mental. I know that my thoughts are, you know, it's 10% physical, 90% mental. So like really remember that, and like putting a smile on your face, even if it's like a snarky smile, like, oh, I really don't like this, with your teeth gritted. Scientifically, smiling will improve your mood and help you physically. Maybe don't grit your teeth, though. Like, you don't want any extra tension. But check in with your body throughout the whole race, like Coach Michael said. If you're holding tension in your shoulders, reset. If you're clutching your water bottle, relax. Really try to be in tune with your body. Now's the time to give back to your body with all of the training that you've done. If you can negative split this race, which means the second half of the race is faster than the first half, yay, that's a huge accomplishment. And maybe that could be one of your ABC goals. But also, when you finish whatever distance you went out there to do, you are going to feel so much better as far as aches and pains. And I will give you so many virtual high fives if you can negative split your race, no matter what the distance. It's better for your body, but it's also a great showing of that mental fortitude and self-control. And if you're not feeling it when you hit that 20, there's so many things that you can do. You've got some of those things that you can do to help you get through and just finish that mileage.
Yeah. So, you know, you're getting to that last 6.2, or this is the time, though, you got to think about this, and you think about this while you're doing the event, is to trust your training and all that work that you put in. And so a lot of times this is just the victory lap. All that training you did was actually the fun part, was being able to keep yourself engaged and a sort of a goal. And, you know, getting all those workouts in. And so trusting this training. And so trusting your training is, think about the different things that we did during training to help prepare you for this. So we always said negative splitting is a huge thing. So starting off slow and ending faster. And we promise you that's a strategy that we do all season, because if you do start off slower, your body is going to slowly warm up and you're going to feel a lot stronger at the end. I agree with the smiling at the end. And just keep smiling and just keeping a positive attitude. That's just going to make you mentally feel better. But there's a couple of other strategies too. And these things are going to be, they're just fine. even if you, for example, let's say you've been a continuous runner the entire season and you feel like you're kind of struggling a little bit more towards the end of your event, you can always switch to run walking. And even if you're just run walking for a couple, 2 or 3 miles, that's fine. You might find that that is actually going to re-energize your body to help you finish a little bit stronger. So if you're not familiar with run walking, you might just switch to, okay, maybe I'm going to run for 5 minutes and then walk for 1 minute, and just keep that consistently, again, over 2 or 3 miles. And then just kind of reset yourself back into your groove, and you might feel like that makes you feel better. If you are currently training at a run-walk interval, you might just need to change your interval. So if you are training at 5-1, for example, maybe you switch it to a 3-1 or a 3-2 for just a little bit, just to kind of get yourself through that little slice of the pie or wherever you are during that distance. A couple of other things too, some people like actually, is to actually run a little bit faster before you run a little bit slower. And how I like to define that a little bit is thinking about good form running. So you might have to just think about where you're at in form. Maybe you're going to pick up your cadence. If you're feeling a little sluggish, pick up your cadence a little bit. So that's just picking up how many times your foot lands on the ground. So it's not necessarily going out for an all-out sprint, but it's just kind of readjusting how you're moving your body in space. And another thing we have talked about with good form running is resetting. So that is, you know, putting your arms up in the air, shaking out your shoulders, loosening them up, trying to get your hips back underneath your body. So sometimes people kind of start bending at the waist, sticking out their butt a little bit, putting your arms up in the air and resetting your body and kind of getting your body more aligned towards a more successful position that would put you in more good form. You might find that makes you feel better. And so if you think about bending at the waist too and opening your shoulders and your body like that, is that you're restricting your breathing if your upper body is becoming a little bit more weak. So just opening that up helps open your lungs up. You're going to get more oxygen in and you're just naturally going to feel better. So we really suggest to you guys, every 1 to 2 miles, even if you have, now that's one new thing you can do on race day. If you haven't done it before on race day, just making sure that you're readjusting yourself so you can put your body in a more successful position. You're going to notice that your body will change a little bit as you're running this distance longer because everything starts fatiguing. Just paying very special attention to that, you'll find that it can help enhance the experience as well. Any other tips, coaches, on kind of getting through those last few miles?
Yeah, I think it's been kind of said, but I just want to reiterate that don't let yourself go down that dark cave. It's easy when you're feeling, if you're feeling bad, if you have some stomach issues or things aren't going your way, to just start brooding on that and focusing on that. And if that's where your mind starts going, you're going to follow that. Your body's going to follow that. Your posture's going to follow that. Try, as Cynthia said, kind of put a smile on your face, maybe put a silly smile on your face, do something to change up from going down that darkness. And remember that it is 26 miles. It's a long time. So even if you have a little bit of a rough patch, it doesn't mean you can't bounce back. Is that what happened to Des Linden in the Boston Marathon, that she was having a rough time and she ended up winning?
She didn't think she would. She's like, today's not the day. She even slowed down so that her running mate could use the bathroom. And then once they got back out there, it was like, oh, today's not the day for anybody. And actually, I'm starting to feel better. And boom, she won. So like, know that how you feel from 1 mile to the next can change. That's something you can control. You can control where your mind goes. Get out of that dark hole, climb out. And, you know, there might not be race photographers out there on the path, but there are going to be people cheering you on. Coaches will be on if you're using the CES suggested route, the unofficial suggested route. You will see other CES folks out there, and you don't want to be T-Rexing with your hands clutched close to you and you're hunched over. Like, be that beautiful runner that is inside of you and that you've been for all of your training runs. You know, make a change.
And if you are caught in a struggle, basically address it immediately and do the things you need to do to get yourself feeling good, whether it's slowing down or taking some more fluid in for the long term. Short time, might slow down, readjust, reassess, and then get yourself back on track. Don't fret in that moment.
So then when you do climb out of that moment and you finish and you're all done,
Yay.
What happens next?
Then you go and sit on a couch for hours on end. Wrong. You don't do that. Walk around for at least 10 minutes. You need to flush the body of lactic acid. You know, we've been drilling this into you all season long. You've put a lot of miles on your body. You need to keep moving. You need to cool down, right? Cool down your body, and it should be a nice slow cool down, and it will help your body and mind return to a resting state. And you're also going to start feeling, as you cool down, your body will physically start to cool down, right? You're no longer running. So get out of those sweaty clothes. Make sure you have a blanket or something you can change into so that you can warm your body up. But what if you don't feel like eating or you're not hungry anymore? What, Michael, what do you do then?
Well, as we talked about all season long, after your runs, it's important to get nutrition to your body so it could start recovering and healing. But after something like a marathon or anything strenuous, sometimes some of us are famished and we can't wait to stuff our face, and some of us just don't feel like eating. So definitely start, at least try to sip, drink some stuff. If you get some fluids with electrolytes in it, soup is good food. Something like with broth, whatever is easy on, you're going to be easy on your stomach, but it has a lot of sodium in it. And it's a nice way to refresh. But go for foods that help you, things like potato chips, something that might be light, easy to digest. And then after a while, maybe in an hour or so, you'll regain some appetite and start, you know, replenishing yourself with food. And obviously everyone wants a celebration meal, but you might want to think about taking in some quality nutrition along with that, just to help with your body process food.
You can, like Michael said, you're probably thinking, oh man, I'm going to have a celebration meal, but have something that you know you can eat within 30 minutes of that run. You want that 3-to-4-to-1 ratio of carbohydrates to proteins, right? And like Michael said, something that you can digest easily. I always, no matter what race or even if I have a long run, I have like a little snack pack set aside for myself of foods that I know, even if I'm not feeling hungry at the time, something that I know I will eat. Like for me, that's pretzel nuggets, it's a banana, and can't think of the word.
Come on, you can do it. Reset.
That's right. My brain needs to reset. Something with electrolytes. Ding, ding, ding. So I try to get something that is easy for me to digest, something I know that my body doesn't mind snacking on, and electrolytes.
It's what plants crave. Electrolyte.
Which, I mean, as a vegan, I'm basically part plant, so I should know electrolytes.
But Brando's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
So this, the other things too, I mean, again, there's going to be some celebrations, which is well deserved. Just know that try to avoid alcohol and huge consumptions of that, at least for 4 or 5 hours, just so your body will feel a lot better and feel a lot more recovered the next day by doing that. But it is important to get something into your system that is the carbohydrate and protein balance. Again, it's all about the recovering, and you're going to bounce back a little bit quicker if you follow those recommendations. But do celebrate. I mean, I'm so impressed with everybody this season. The amount of energy and the amount of work everybody put in and the amount of dedication that everybody put into still training and, you know, high-fiving each other or, you know, just staying invested in their training, even if you stayed on a maintenance plan and you're not necessarily looking that you're going to be doing the actual marathon, you're kind of postponing it to next year. Everybody should get a huge kudos for the amount of work that was just put into it. Or, you know, I feel like some people said they felt a little bit more relaxed this season, just not even having necessarily like this big hoopla event at the end. But whatever it is, committing to the training, committing to the fitness piece of it was not an easy feat, and everybody did a great job. Now, some people might have not trained as much or whatever, but that's fine too. Again, the energy.
That's right. And what's I'm impressed with is many runners that I've had conversations with are like, oh, you know what? There's no pressure to running this race. And they're like, well, I ended up doing 20 miles to help somebody else who was training for their first marathon virtually. So no, I guess I'm just going to do a marathon. Like, when does that ever fall out of your mouth? Right? I guess I'll just do it. Like, well, normally it's like, I'm scared. I've had all these feelings throughout the entire training. And now it's just like, you've done it. You're doing it. You're not under pressure. And it's time to celebrate good times. Come on. Just celebrate all your achievements, not just the race, but also just being willing to go out there and run during this time is a huge accomplishment, whether it's the maintenance plan or even just getting out like three times a week, twice a week to run is major. And you should celebrate that fact as well.
So we would hope that, you know, people, if you do the 26.2 or you do one of these races and you do push yourself pretty hard, we do hope that people do take a recovery time seriously. And that's not just a few hours after you finish or even the next day, because you might find that you're going to be super tired the next few days, maybe even more hungry. But you really should give your body a good 2 or 3 weeks to recover. Sometimes they say that it's kind of a reverse taper. In your mileage. So you look at your taper time and go back kind of like the 3 weeks in the reverse manner. Just, you know, give yourself some time to relax and recover. And then we hope that people join us for the next season. So even if you didn't get to an actual virtual event, we have found a lot of people have just created a really good foundation of solid base mileage that really sets them up for following seasons. And we are going to do a Winter Warriors season for that's going to be in person at all our locations. We're going to start that on October 31st. Now, this one is going to be from October 31st to January 1st. So we just want everybody to get this 2020 year over with, but finishing on a solid note. And so we are going to have another virtual type of race, either a 10K or a 10 mile or at the new year. And so that's what the training plans will be built up for. So we hope that everybody will join us then. But that's not going to be the first opportunity for everyone to see us. We are going, the coaching staff will be spread out across the Lakefront Path this coming weekend on October 10th and October 11th. We will be posting kind of a suggested route of where we'll be lined up across. And so then we hope to kind of see you guys' faces out there. So when you guys are out there running your virtual events, wear your CES gear so we know who you are and know to virtual or physically distance a high five to you. Say hello to us, and we hope to see as many people out there as possible. Even if you're not doing a virtual race, get out on that day, because a lot of your fellow athletes will be out on that course. Most people, I think, will be out before noon, so a lot of people will be starting between 6 and 7. The CARA aid stations are going to be out there till around noon. And then the coaching staff will be out there too till around noon. So those could be plenty of energizing resources that we hope will help you along this weekend on that virtual ride. Anything else you want to add, coaches?
No, I just think, you know, definitely, you know, congratulations to everyone who's done any training this season, and best of luck to everyone doing a race, whether it's a new distance for you or a distance you've done before. But we talked about all these sorts of things to focus on during your race. But don't forget to enjoy it. If this is your day. Enjoy the miles and, you know, the beauty of the Lakefront Path, if that's what you're running or wherever you're running.
That's exactly right, Michael and Lori. Like, enjoy your day. Whatever distance you are doing this weekend or in during your virtual race, that think of that distance as a celebration train. So, yeah, ride that train. That train is kind of like an ant farm, you know, and the ants have all built up their elaborate tunnel system. And that elaborate tunnel system is your 26.2, your 13.1, your 10K. And that ant farm is going to be ready for the celebration party that you will have after. Everyone's going to be like, I'm impressed with your ant farm. Congratulations already. Enjoy yourself and be proud. Be proud of every step you've taken this training season.
Thank you for listening to the Chicago Endurance Sports Podcast. Remember to plan your race and race your plan.